Should have called him what?
Blog Talk Radio.
I need this world. From millions of light years away, I approach your planet. Soon my spaceship lands on Earth. I need your world. I feed a beard, live on human hatred. I, a strong mind without flesh or blood, want your world. First, the unthinking, the birds of the air, the animals of the forest. Then the weaker of men shall all do my bidding. They shall be my ears, my eyes, until your world is mine. And because I see your most secret acts, you will know me as a beast with a million eyes.
That's what's supposed to happen.
I couldn't afford a prescription for that many eyes. No.
No. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And we're here along with the lovely
and delightful.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. This is CW here. Just remember, whenever you tell those little white eyes that the night has the thousand eyes. Ooh.
And some beasts have a million eyes. We were talking about it briefly yesterday, that film, CW. Are you familiar with it? It's a cheapie. It's not public domain, but it, like, ought to be.
It should be. It should be teetering right on the edge. Yes, the beast with a million eyes. Yes, indeed.
And I couldn't remember if it was Dick, and I still haven't looked it up, if it was Dick York or Dick Sargent. One of the Darrens was in that movie briefly. I think he was the boyfriend of the daughter.
I have to look that one up.
I would also like it, my house, yeah.
Because there's a dog that plays a pretty big role, a German Shepherd in it.
And Dale, I do have something to declare.
Uh-oh.
I have not one, not two, but 12 IFAX Dave Facts tonight.
IFAX Dave Facts, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
You've been warned, audience. You've been warned.
So don't turn a blind eye.
That's right.
Wow.
He's going to scare you down with some IFAX Dave Facts as we present to you CBS Radio Mystery Theater, a tale called Eye of Death.
Yep. That's one of those ones that I had on cassette that I got to listen to over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Sounds like a goodie. I didn't cheat and listen, but I read a brief synopsis of our tale tonight, and it's shaping up to be a good one.
Yeah, it's a nice story. And I'm not going to say anything to ruin it. I already ruined it enough, so I might not say anything.
Yeah, it sounded like it's a little involved, so I think we're going to have a good story here that has plenty of opportunities for thrills and chills. Gar the Ghoul in our chat, along with Fox Bane and good old Bob, as our buddy Gar gets ready for Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul. There it is. And that'll be coming up at 8 o'clock right after we're done driving you crazy here in the house. That's a short walk.
Yes. Yes. I am waiting with anticipation. My eyes are all agog.
Agog. And aghast. And agape.
Agape. And a Google.
Yeah.
Like a Barney Google with those googly eyes.
Googly eyes.
Yes, he does. He has those googly eyes. Yeah.
Yes, he does. A lot of high highs from Bugs Bane.
But yet the Barney Google was more about Snuffy Smith, comic strip, than it was about Snuffy Smith, than it was about Barney Google.
True. True. Snuffy got all the action, man.
He did.
He got all the storylines. Oh, well.
Maybe he started. Maybe it started off differently. That's, by the time I caught it. And it wasn't in the Beacon here or in Buffalo, but it was in my grandfather's, the newspaper in Lima. And so That was one of those ones that he would keep certain comics out for me so I could kind of catch up with them when I got there. Like
yeah.
Dondi. Dondi was not local here to me, but it was in Lima, so my grandfather would save all those out.
There used to be, I think, some Dondi comic books. I remember always that either it was either the doctor or the dentist's office or some kind of publication. That was my only exposure to Dondi. Or maybe they were like those Classics Illustrated. No, wouldn't be Classics Illustrated. I don't know, but that's the only exposure I got to Dondi was at the doctor's office. Just stop it.
Yes.
I could have said that better. Now, couldn't I have? Anyway.
Yes. Yes, my eyes are closed and covered because of the...
Can you taste the bile? Anyway.
Avert your vision, everyone.
Yes. CBS Radio Mystery Theater. This is a good one from, I think, March of 75, if I recall.
It is. March 7th of 1975, episode number 235.
We'll be back.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
WBBM time, 10:32.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
I heard that.
Come in.
Sweetie.
Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Murder, we are told, will out. As will, I believe, truth. Which is to say that most murderers, though not all, are eventually exposed and made to pay for what is considered certainly the most heinous crimes of all, the taking of another's life. Such was the case with the charming, debonair, and totally amoral Greg Manchester, who felt sure he had committed the perfect murder, only to discover...
You're arresting me for murder? Lieutenant, you can't be serious.
I'm very serious, Mr. Manchester.
But on what grounds? Yes, I shot and killed my wife, but it was an accident.
No accident, Mr. Manchester. Cold-blooded murder. And we can prove it.
How can you prove murder when there was no murder? It was an accident, I tell you. I only wish there hadn't been a witness to prove what I say.
There was a witness, Greg. A witness who can prove it was murder.
Who, Sandy? Tell me who.
The corpse, Greg. The corpse.
Our mystery drama, The Eye of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Joan Hackett. It is sponsored in part by imported Vigna Rosé wine and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Here they come, spinning out of the turn, and good time lad powers into command, smashing down, still right there along the rail second, Jefferson between horses third, but out in the middle of the track, here comes Braidwood. Phil Georgiev here, inviting you to take in the excitement of big league harness racing tonight and every night at historic Hawthorne. It's racing at its finest, full mile track action, and those long stretch thrills every night at 8. With big doubleheader programs every Saturday at 2 o'clock sharp. It's Hawthorne, and here they come.
It's still wintertime in most of Chicago, but at the Como Inn, springtime has arrived. Visit the Como Inn, and you'll be greeted by fresh flowers and plants from their own greenhouse. To these harbingers of spring, add the cheerful musical atmosphere, the pleasant, attractive waiters and waitresses, and old-world customs, and you have almost the ingredients for a perfect dining experience. Now add Como Inn's unsurpassed Italian cuisine, perfectly pleasurable. Como Inn, 546 North Milwaukee, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Reservations 421-5222.
When it comes to murder, it sometimes seems to me that the cleverer a murderer, the more certain he is to be caught. For as the annals of crime reveal, he tends to outsmart himself. Dr. Crippen, Landrieu, George Joseph Smith, to mention but a few, all without exception flattered themselves on having committed perfect crimes, when in truth they had trapped themselves by overlooking one single minor little detail, as did a certain gentleman named Gregory Manchester. Listen.
Murder? You are accusing me, Sandy, of planning to murder your mother? Is that what you said?
Don't twist my words, Greg. I said it wouldn't surprise me if she had a fatal accident and died suddenly.
Oh, Sandy, don't even speak of such things. Just the thought makes my heart skip a beat.
I'm sorry, Rose. How is your heart?
Oh, same. Mother thinks I ought to see another doctor.
Sandy, I'm sorry you feel about me as you do. I hope when I married your mother that you'd become as much my friend as your sister has. Why, if you could have heard me talking about you at my club, how proud I was going to be to have the famous photographer Sandy Oakes for a stepdaughter. Can't we be friends, Sandy?
Friends? Sorry, Greg, but your charm is wasted on me. You charmed my mother into marrying you, charmed her into turning over all of her money to you, charmed her into taking out a $100,000 life policy with you as a beneficiary,
well,
but...
Well, now, my dear, why not? After all, Sandy, I am her husband.
And a fast worker. Right, less than a month. You certainly haven't wasted any time getting this marriage to pay off for you.
Oh, now you're accusing me of marrying your mother for her money. Is that it, my dear?
You can believe it.
Oh, now, Sandy.
Rose, it's true, and I'm telling you straight out. This clothes horse with his blonde hair and his Sir Walter Raleigh manners is nothing more than a shop operator. A con artist. And that's what I've come here to tell my mother, and I will tell her if she ever gets out of that bath and comes down here.
Sandy, you're all upset.
Upset? I'm steaming, and I've been steaming ever since I heard about this new life insurance policy. When Mother phoned and said that you'd just taken out a $100,000 policy with dear Greggy as a beneficiary, I could have... Oh, what is that?
What? Oh, it's a stain on the ceiling. It's a water stain.
The bathroom is just above us here.
Oh, now, don't tell me the tub's overflowed.
What?
If your mother's had another of her fainting spells in the bath,
oh.
You better get up there. Come on.
What fainting spells? Mother's never had a fainting spell in her life.
Oh, no, you're wrong there, Sandy. She never told you, but she's had a number of them. Sudden blackouts since your father died. The shock of his death, I don't know. And she's had two since we married a month ago. God grant she hasn't had another. Not while taking it. Oh, here we are. Oh, no.
Killed her, Joe. He killed her.
Now, sweetheart,
He did. He drowned her in that tub. All of that talk about sudden fainting spells, blackouts. No way, Joe. No way.
Now, look, my dear lovable bride-to-be, I don't like Gregory Manchester any more than you do, and I couldn't agree more that he's the phony you claim he is, but you're no fool, Sandy. A camera nut, maybe, with that camera of yours always slung around your neck, but you...
Joe, photography is my business, and I don't know how many pictures I'd have missed if I didn't keep this high-powered Instamat ready at all times. And really, I don't know why it bothers you.
Well, it's nothing. Oh, excuse me. Yes? Yes, yes. Have them come right in. Manchester and your sister.
I'm going to try to get Rose to move in with me now that Mother's gone.
Come in, Rose. Mr. Manchester.
Thank you. Hello, Sandy.
Hello. How are you feeling, Rose?
Oh, all right.
I want to talk with you privately after the reading of Mother's will.
What about, Sandy?
Later, dear.
Well, we're all here, so I'll get started. I, Geraldine Oakes Manchester, a resident of the city of...
Wait a minute, Gerald.
Yes?
Geraldine Oakes Manchester?
Your mother made a new will after she married Mr. Manchester, didn't she tell you?
No.
Well, she told me she was going to.
She didn't. I'm sure I know why.
Another slap at me, Sandy. Are you implying I changed her mind about telling you?
If the shoe fits, Greg.
Now, hold it, please. We're here for the reading of a will, and I suggest we get on with it. I, Geraldine Oakes Manchester, a resident of this city... Lastly, I hereby revoke all former wills and codicils to wills heretofore by me made, In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand and seal this 10th day of October, signed Geraldine Oaks, Manchester, and witnessed, etc., etc., etc. Well, Mr. Manchester, you've inherited quite a fortune.
Plus $100,000 in insurance. While Rose gets nothing, nor do I.
Well, as your mother stated in her will, Sandy, she trusted me. Implicitly trusted me to see that Rose was well cared for. And you?
I don't need Mother's money, but Rose...
Oh, Sandy, you can trust Greg. Mother did. I do.
I know you do, Rose. You trust everyone. You always have.
Possibly because she hasn't let the world make her as cynical as it has made you.
Oh, now, just a minute, Mr. Manchester.
I can take care of myself, Joe. More important, I can take care of Rose, and I mean to.
But, Sandy, I'm going to be all right. Greg will...
Leave you to starve if I know Greg, but he isn't going to because I'm not going to let him. I'm going to break this will.
Sandy...
I mean it, Joe. He conned Mother and he fleeced her. Well, you're not going to get away with it, Greg. I'll break this will if it's the last thing that I do.
And may I ask exactly how, my dear?
By proving you murdered my mother and meant to murder her from the start.
Some more shrimp creole, Florence?
Oh, Greg, darling, I couldn't. I simply couldn't. You know I'm on a diet.
Oh, nonsense. This is no time to stay on a diet. In the first place, it's Mardi Gras week. In the second, I've brought you to the finest restaurant in New Orleans.
Oh, you dear, delightful man.
And in the third place, why anyone with your figure feels the need to diet, that baffles me utterly.
Oh, you are a dear and delightful man. Greg Manchester, you are almost as... No, I'll say it. You are as dear and delightful as my late husband. Oh, Greg, I'm so glad we met. So glad.
Well, so am I, Florence. You know, only a week ago, I was the loneliest man on earth. Lonely in the way only the bereaved can be lonely. Even though it's months since Geraldine passed on, I thought I would never get over her loss. And then... Well, then, my dearest. You don't mind if I call you my dearest?
Of course not.
Well, I met you, and life became worth living again.
Oh, Greg, do you know that seems exactly the way I felt? Feel?
I thought as much. We've known each other only a week, my dear, but what a week it has been.
Oh, yes.
And for my part, Florence, I... You won't be offended.
No, no.
Well, for my part, you're the woman I've been looking for since my own dear Geraldine passed on.
Oh,
the woman I felt sure I would never, never find.
Oh, Greg. Greg, you dear man.
Then you're not offended.
Offended?
It wouldn't be if I... Well, if I...
If you what, darling?
If I asked you to become my wife.
Oh.
Oh, dear, I have offended you.
No. No. Oh, you've made me so happy. I think I'm going to cry. In fact, I know I am. Greg, what? Is something wrong?
No. Excuse me a moment, Florence. I'll be right back. Well, Sandy Oaks, girl photographer, camera and all.
Greg Manchester, con artist and murderer. Next victim and all.
What are you doing in New Orleans?
Mardi Gras week. I'm covering it. For Cosmopolite.
You're lying. You found out I was living in New Orleans. You followed me here.
Care to see my press credentials?
If Cosmopolite sent you, you asked for the assignment.
How right you are.
Now you listen to me. Any more trouble from you and I'll make you know what trouble really is.
Trouble? What makes you think I'm out to give you trouble, Greg?
Because you followed me here, because I suddenly spotted you snapping a picture of me and Mrs. Chapman.
I took more than one before you noticed me, Greg. They may come in handy.
I don't see how.
Well, then, look over there, Greg. See that sign?
The one that reads Mardi Gras Week?
Exactly. From that angle, I caught not only you and Mrs. Chapman, but that sign hanging behind you on the wall.
So what?
The time element, Greg, and the place. I can hear a district attorney saying to you at your trial for murder, quote, you did know the widow, Mrs. Florence Chapman, as early as Mardi Gras week, didn't you? In New Orleans, wasn't it? Unquote.
my murder trial.
You're all going to kill her, aren't you? For her money? After you marry her? Tell me, does she have any children you can leave penniless as you did my sister Rose?
She went to live with you. You're very successful, plenty of dough. You take care of her.
I am. I'm also going to take care of you.
Now, Sandy, I warn you.
Cool it. Calm, man. I am not my mother that you're talking to now, nor my sister Rose, or that lovely victim of yours over there. A photographer gets around. You think you're the cleverest thing that ever happened. You are. But, Buster, it's your cleverness that's going to put you behind bars, because somewhere, somehow, you're going to think you're so clever that you'll make one little mistake, one fatal little mistake, and when you do, I'm going to be there.
Be smart, eh? Get out of my life and stay out of my...
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but, Greg, dear, won't you introduce me to that very attractive friend here? Well, dearest?
Yes, of course. Sandy Oaks, my stepdaughter.
Oh, you're not the daughter of that poor woman who drowned accidentally. Yes, Mrs. Chapman, I am. You know my... Oh, Greg told you. No, I've been watching you and Mr. Manchester ever since he met you a week ago. Watching? Greg, darling, what does she mean?
Oh, never mind, Florence. She's a troublemaker. She tried to stop me from marrying her mother.
I tried to stop you from murdering my mother.
Oh, gracious, that talk! You're in a restaurant.
Mrs. Chapman, let me give you a tip. A tip that will save your life. Say goodbye right now to this charming, well-dressed murderer. Say goodbye and go on living.
Well, Greg. Greg, I believe you're right. This girl, well, I don't know what she is, but she is. I'm sorry I came over. I'll wait for you at our table.
Yes, 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 of course, Florence. Well, you see?
She's as naive and as trusting as my mother and my sister. Or others you've murdered.
Oh, so it's others now. Look, Sandy, you said I'm clever. Well, I am clever. A hell of a lot cleverer than you are, doll. I guess the only way to get you off my neck is to prove it.
And just how will you do that?
The only way I know. Murder.
Don't get me all choked up. I know you. I'm ready for anything you try. Murder me? You don't have much of a chance, Mr. Manchester.
Oh, murder you. No, 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 not you.
Who then?
Your sister Rose, whom you love so much. Who else?
Inevitably, it had to come to this. The challenge. The squaring off. The gauntlet flung down between a cold-blooded murderer and a self-sufficient girl like Sandy Oaks, who's been around. Is she right? Will Greg Manchester make that one fatal mistake she says he will? Perhaps we'll find out when I return for Act Two.
This mystery's really thrilling me.
The suspense is really killing me. Just sitting here by the radio
with Vina Rose Wall.
Vina
Rose Wall.
Say this Vina Rose, it's delicious.
It goes with so many dishes.
Or all alone by the radio. Vina Rose wine, Vina Rose wine. Come let me pour you some more Vina. At the prices of value, if you know what I mean.
Now let's go back
to our mystery show. But I have one question before I go. What light and refreshing imparted to
Vina Rose wine?
That's the answer, Vina Rose wine.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
What a wine!
Imported by Udline, Hartford, Connecticut.
All right. That's the way to sell wine, gang.
Yep, yep.
With a musical.
Yeah. With a musical, that's right. Yeah. So perhaps this is a good spot for our first set of iFacts, DayFacts.
Well, they have to be introduced properly, do they not?
You have the proper introduction. Yeah. Yeah, introduction.
Yeah.
Eye effect. Most hamsters only blink one eye at a time. Dave fact. That's called winking, you know. Eye fact. Blue-eyed people share a common ancestor with every other blue-eyed person in the world. Dave fact. Yeah, they all have blue eyes. Eye fact.
True.
Bees have five eyes. Dave fact. That's so they can see what you look like when they sting you. And eye fact number four. A worm has no eyes at all. Dave fact. Perhaps that's why they make such good lawyers and politicians. That's it.
Ooh. For this round.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Okay. It's a little rough.
They get worse. Don't worry.
So, CW, thank you for confirming it was Dick Sargent. Darren number two.
Yes, indeed, it was Darren number two. Absolutely, and he was billed actually billed in the movie as Richard versus Dick.
Ah, yes.
No comment. I just like Dick York better. I thought he was a better Darren.
Yeah. He was a better Darren.
He was my favorite.
I think he had better. Yeah, a better comedic, I think, a little better comedic timing.
Only Darren for me.
But, you know, then Dick Sargent went on to replace Enos when he left for his own TV series, which lasted about six episodes, I think. It's like the television replacement. Somebody's going to leave. You bring in Dick Sargent.
Durwood.
Yeah. Durwood.
Durwood.
The thing. Durweed.
Yeah. Yeah, I hesitate to hear what a modern day mother-in-law would be calling him.
Yeah.
An unrestrained venue. It would be a little.
Well, you know, I don't know. I still think making fun of his name, that never getting it right, would be more irritating than somebody calling you a poop head, you know.
Yeah, true.
Hey, there's somebody knocking on the phone over there, Dave.
Oh, good heavens, I'm not dressed.
Hello, I just called to see if you had seen any murderous monkeys from South Mifflin.
That was last night, sir.
Yeah.
Last night we had the murderous monkeys. Yeah, that's a no. That was last night.
Bye-bye.
No, they're from West Mifflin today. Different area monkey.
Yeah.
Evil.
Got to be careful of those regional monkeys, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, they're very territorial.
Indeed. Well, the eyes of Texas may be upon you, but the eyeball of Toledo is bouncing your way.
Toledo.
Okay.
At least she said Toledo.
I guess I can understand that one.
She could have said something else other than Toledo.
Say Parma?
She could have said Parma. In which case...
Yes, it was all about dreams.
There we go.
Yeah.
Beware. You might. End up at the Polka Riot.
Should have kept your eye on that Kishka.
Someone stole a Kishka. Someone stole a Kishka. Someone stole a Kishka from the butcher shop.
There you go.
The only reason I said Toledo, I couldn't think of any other town in Ohio that started with a T.
Yeah. That's probably about it, I would guess.
I'm trying to think. I was having some trouble with that myself.
Yeah, it's not coming to mind.
I was Tuscarora County, but I don't know of, it's got to be out there.
If there is one, I guarantee it has a population of like 12.
Yeah, and that's on a Sunday when they're all at home, you know, watching the Browns play.
Yes.
There you are. Yeah, just that song came to mind. There's a song about Toledo, Ohio that
John Denver did,
Yes.
Yes, because Saturday night at Toledo, Ohio is like being nowhere at all, yeah.
Oh.
It's like he's been here.
Yeah.
I wonder how people, I don't know if that made him very popular in that town.
Well, it made him popular in other places.
It's kind of like when they made songs and made fun of Cleveland, we just kind of hung our heads and said, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Uh-oh.
Yep.
He's back. Like the plague.
Uh-oh. Another muscle.
There's a town called Cincinnati. It has like 8 people live in it. Yeah, in Ohio.
Cincinnati, yeah. Yeah, well, Cincinnati wannabe.
Cincinnati,
yeah.
Cincinnati,
yeah. It's the only second key starting city, state, and or proverb in Ohio.
That's right. Cincinnati.
Oh, my gosh.
You got hit on the head of a polka riot. I know it.
I know. Yeah, we're having a polka riot here. The police just left.
That's good.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
Yeah.
You guys have fun. I got to do weird stuff with grease paint. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to hear about
No details. No details or pictures. You know.
Yeah, that's,
that does not belong on Facebook.
Keep your private life
no
to yourself.
No fetishes.
Yeah.
No fetishes on Blog Talk, please.
Okay. Hello, CW. Goodbye, CW.
Blip,
goodbye.
Blip, blip. I knew that was coming. There's two things you got to have every day of your life, or at least once a week. You got to have a blah, blah, and you got to have a goat scream. You got to have those
two
things, or life just ain't worth it.
There you go. The minimum daily requirement of goat scream.
Oh. Yeah. And then there is also...
That sounds naughty, though. It does.
Well,
but then everything
that's
does
one
to
happy,
me.
That's one happy pickle. That's one happy pickle. Yeah.
Now that sounds dirty, too. Let's get back to our show, shall we? Before I go way off the hook. The Eye of Death. It is shaping up to be quite the terror tale. With the Eye of Death from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Much has been written on the psychology of murder and murderers. And although experts disagree, when have experts ever done anything else, there seems little question that the common motive for murder is personal gain. In any case, assuredly, that's what it is with Greg Manchester, who, you might say, marries for murder. But now Sandy Oaks, veteran freelance photographer, has set out to prove that Manchester murdered her mother, even as Manchester threatens that if she doesn't leave him alone, he will kill her invalid sister, Rose.
Sandy, your mother drowned in her bath after suffering a blackout.
My mother never had a blackout, a fainting spell in her life. Manchester spread that story to cover himself.
Yeah, but you can't prove it. And until you can, I'm warning you, drop it.
I'm not afraid of a suit for libel or slander, if that's what you mean.
What I mean is, I'm afraid for your life. If what you say is true.
It's Rose's life I'm worried about. If anything happened to me, she'd be alone and penniless.
You don't ever have to worry about Rose while I'm around. You know that.
Of course not. But, good Lord, I didn't realize it was this late. I've got to rush.
What? Just when I was about to invite you to lunch?
I'm sorry, darling, but I'm due at the Metropolitan Photographic Exhibit in half an hour. I promised to advise the committee on how to hang the prize exhibits.
Oh, including one of yours. Which reminds me, I owe you an apology.
An apology because I won a prize?
Well, I'm always kidding you about carrying that fancy camera of yours, but if you hadn't had it with you and shot from the hip that day, you'd never have caught that picture of an old man being mugged.
And the muggers. Oh, the cops nail them because of what I photographed. Which reminds me, I've got to see Lieutenant McCoy at headquarters after the photo exhibit.
What for?
The information I dug up in New Orleans about Greg Manchester. Now, it may not mean anything to you, darling, but I'm hoping it will mean plenty to Lieutenant McCoy.
It means nothing to me, Sandy, nothing at all.
But, Mac...
Sandy, I checked it out. Yeah, sure, Manchester was married before he met your mother. Sure, his wife died of an overdose of sleeping pills, but the coroner's verdict was death by accident.
Oh, Mac, you put me away. You really do.
I don't get you.
His wife dies of an overdose of sleeping pills, and he inherits over $50,000. He marries my mother. She dies by drowning. He inherits every cent she has plus an insurance of $100,000, taken out less than a month before. Two deaths, two so-called accidents, and Greg Manchester hits the financial jackpot. That doesn't strike you as fishy?
Oh, yes, but I...
Now he's going to marry this other wealthy widow, Florence Chapman, less than 3 months after my mother dies.
Sandy...
Oh, and he threatens to kill my sister Rose if I don't lay off, and you sit there and you tell me that you don't think that Manchester is a cold-blooded murderer.
No, I didn't say that. I said he's clean, Sandy. As a cop, I got to play it by the book, the rules of evidence. Maybe Manchester did kill your mother and his previous wife, but I haven't got a shred of evidence to prove he did, and neither have you. Well, have you?
No. No, but I'm going to get it. Sooner or later, Manchester is going to make one slip. One little slip, and I'm going to be there when he does.
Taking pictures of him as he does, I'll bet.
It isn't funny, Mac.
No, I'm just cracking wise about you and your trusty companion, that camera.
Laugh. But it caught you a couple of muggers, and Mac, it may catch me a murderer. There's a bench, Rose. Want to sit for a while?
Oh, no, Sandy, no. I'm too excited to sit still.
You're too excited, period.
Oh, I'll be all right. Oh, it's such a thrill for me just to get out of that apartment. But on top of that, these wonderful pictures. Holzman, Eisenstadt, Kepler, and you.
That's what I call really sisterly love. Putting me in that class.
Oh, you won a first prize.
Yes, but in photojournalism, and there's nothing arty about my stuff.
A first prize is a first prize, and I'm not going to argue. Sandy, maybe I'd better sit down for a minute or two.
Yes, yes, right there. How bad is it?
It's not bad. Sandy, would you open my bag and take out the bottle of nitro pills?
Yeah, just a sec. Here, wait a moment now. Here we are. Here. Stay here. I'll get you a cup of water.
Yes.
Excuse me, please. Excuse me. I just want to get through to the water cooler.
We're here. Let me help you.
Thank you. You.
Yes, me.
What are you doing here, Greg?
Mrs. Manchester wanted to see the exhibit.
She married you, then?
And I wanted to see you. Figured you'd be here, so I...
I've got no time for you now. I've got to get a cup of water for my sister.
Well, here's the cup. There's the water. I want a word with you, Sandy, about...
Would you get out of my way? Excuse me, please. Excuse me? Rose, dear, here you are.
Oh, thank you, Sandy, thank you. Are you better? Yes. Much.
I think it would better go.
Sandy, I haven't seen everything yet.
Your heart.
Oh, drat my heart. My first day out of the apartment in weeks. I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to see everything there is to see. Oh, look who's here.
Hello, Rose.
How are you, Greg?
Never better. You?
Pretty well. Thank you.
I meant to call on you when I got back from New Orleans, but I felt your sister wouldn't approve.
You're right, Greg. Her sister wouldn't...
Oh, now you too.
It's all right, Rose. All right. Sandy and I aren't going to have a scene. I only want to say hello. So, if you'll excuse me, I'll rejoin my wife. Goodbye, Rose. Goodbye, Sandy. Oh, give my regards to Lieutenant McCoy next time you see him, would you?
Lieutenant McCoy?
The police lieutenant you went to see this morning. About a certain little matter...
How do you know that I want to see McCoy? and what I went to see him about?
Oh, does it matter? I know. I think it was very foolish of you, Sandy.
Do you?
Oh, yes, very. In fact, as I intimated to you in New Orleans, it could even be dangerous. Deadly dangerous. Not for you. Not immediately for you. Well, goodbye for now.
Sandy, what was that all about? Nothing, Rose. Nothing. What did Greg mean? It could be deadly dangerous. It's nothing for you to worry about, Rose.
Well, all right, if you say so. Funny, though.
What?
I'm worried somehow. Suddenly, I'm very worried. Joe. Oh, nice to see you. Come in.
How are you, Rose?
Oh, I'm fine, fine.
Now, no fibs to your brother-in-law-to-be.
What?
I talked to Sandy on the phone. She said your heart gave you a little trouble at the photography exhibition this afternoon.
Oh, nothing my nitro pills couldn't handle, and did.
Oh, good, good. Where's Sandy?
Three guesses.
The dark room.
Give the man a cigar. Or would you rather have a drink?
A drink, and I'll make it, Sandy said you ran into Greg Manchester at the exhibition.
Yes. I'm worried, Joe.
About what?
Greg said a funny thing to Sandy. It seems he heard somehow she'd gone to see police lieutenant, Lieutenant McCloy.
McCoy,
about something. He didn't say what. And Sandy wouldn't tell me, but anyhow, he said he thought she was very foolish to do anything like that, and that it could be deadly dangerous. Those were the words he used, deadly dangerous.
I see.
Sandy didn't tell you?
No, she didn't.
But not for her. That was the funny part of what he said. Not deadly dangerous for her. Not immediately.
Rose, what is it?
Chest.
Your nitroglycerin pills.
They...
Sandy! Oh. Sandy!
Oh, what is it? Oh, no.
Where are pills?
Bedroom. I'll get them.
Rose, now, let me get you to the couch. Lay you down here. Ah, there. There, cushion behind your head. Sandy, hurry up!
Yes, here. Here, Rose. Open your mouth. That's it.
Water, Joe?
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, here you are.
All right now, honey. Swallow the pills. Swallow it, dear. That's it. Okay, all right. Sure to be all right in a moment or two. Rose, dear. Is it having any effect? Oh, Rose, is the pain letting up? Rose?
Joe!
Here, let me.
Joe?
She's gone, Sandy.
Oh, no. No.
I'm afraid so, sweetheart.
Threatened he would and he has.
Greg Manchester?
He said he'd kill her if I didn't lay off, and I didn't, and he has. Thank you, Mac. Goodbye.
What'd he say, McCoy?
The toxicology lab tested the pills Rose took. That I gave her.
Oh, Sandy. All right, come on now, honey.
The pills. They found that they were triple strength. Triple the amount of nitroglycerin prescribed for Rose.
That's impossible. No pharmacist would make a mistake like that.
The pharmacist didn't. They got him out of bed and they met him at his place and checked his records. He made no mistake.
Well, then how... Sandy, how?
Greg.
Sandy.
Don't ask me how he did it. He got into the apartment maybe while we were out. Rose and I didn't change the bottles. I don't know. It doesn't matter. All that matters to me is that he did it. And I know in my bones I know that he did it. He murdered the woman he was married to before he married my mother. He killed my mother. He killed Rose. He'll kill Florence Chapman. He'll kill me. Unless I stop him. He's got to be stopped, Joe. Stopped and put behind bars like any other animal. And that's where I'm going to put him. With God's help, Joe, that's where I'll put him for the rest of his life.
Brave words. Words spoken under the pressure of emotion. Well, I think I can tell you at this point that Sandy did put Greg Manchester behind bars for the rest of his life when he made that one fatal slip. I was about to say that he overlooked something, but the fact is, he never saw it, but Sandy did. Or, to be more precise, her camera did. I'll return in a moment for Act Three. You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
Inflation. It hits us daily. And if you're in business, you face another kind of inflation. Adflation, spiraling ad costs just when the need to advertise is greater than ever. What can you do when print costs escalate? When producing a TV commercial cuts sharply into your budget for time? You can do what you do every day. Turn to radio. Radio is effective, inexpensive. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
Here's a different kind of a mystery for you. How can you be in three places at once? Well, it's no mystery at Northwest Federal Saving. Every Northwest Federal Saver can be in three places at once, in all three Northwest Federal Saving Centers. How? Well, the minute you become a Northwest Federal Saver, our computer registers you in all three places. Open your account at any saving center, and you can use any office anytime you want to make a deposit, a withdrawal, or to pay utility bills. You can do all this and more in the Northwest Federal Savings Center nearest you. Come visit at Irving Park, Dempster in Des Plaines, or Harlem Irving. It's Northwest Federal's 50th year. Now, the only mystery is how Northwest Federal can make it even easier for you to save. We keep trying 63 hours a week.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
Okay. It's getting rough. This gal knows he's a murderer. He's a creepy dude.
Them ladies are dropping like flies.
Yep.
It's harsh. Yep. I'm making my eyes water.
Yep. It reminds me a little bit of the movie with Robert Mitchum, where he's like this horrible, such a good, thriller.
Yeah, with Lillian Gish and Shelley Winters. I can't remember the name of it. I can even remember who was in the remake of it.
Yeah, I just remember him as a preacher who was marrying women and murdering them along the way.
I know Peter Graves was in the movie, very briefly.
Was he? He was in a lot of stuff in the 50s.
Yeah, he was.
Night of the Hunter.
Oh, very good movie. I was shocked when I found later that it was Lillian Gish that played the elderly woman.
Yeah.
That was taking care of the kids. She did very, very well. She was marvelous.
Well, you find out in her silent days and the silent film era, she was doing some of her own stunts.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
As a youth.
As a youth.
As a youth.
As a youth, she you know, he did some of her own stunts, and yeah, no actress today, no insurance company would allow them to do that.
Yeah.
No.
A lot of studios wouldn't let you do that, but yeah.
No. But yeah, Night of the Hunter, that is a wonderful movie.
Thriller like today's radio program. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's sinister. But this gal is clever and resourceful, so let's see if she can pull out.
Before we get there, I
have a feeling shortly we're going to hear like a dramatic intro for something.
Ooh.
Right. IFAX.
Part two. Or do, if you're French or something like that. Anyway, IFAX. You see things upside down. It's your brain which turns the image the right way. Up. Dave Fact, no wonder I'm so darn clumsy. I Fact, an ostrich's eye is bigger than his brain. Dave Fact, I know a lot of people like that. I Fact, blind people can see their dreams as long as they weren't born blind. Dave Fact, it's only fair because I see blind people in my dreams. I Fact, everyone has one eye that's slightly stronger than the other. Dave Fact, that's the eye that guys use when looking at other women when they're out with their wife or girlfriend. That is that.
Ooh. Yeah, Marty Feldman could have got away with that. He could have got away with that.
Yeah, he could have looked in two different directions. And
that's right. How'd you know I'm looking?
Definitely.
I can't help it. You're messing with me. Forgot our reaction to DFAX. IFAX DFAX. That's what should have happened. There you go.
Luckily, only one more set to go.
Dang it.
I don't know about luckily. I'm enjoying the IFAX.
Thank you. Oh, yes, I am. So am I. They do fog up my Harry Potter glasses, but yeah, I'm enjoying them nonetheless.
And I bet you look good in those Harry Potter glasses. I bet you do.
As a matter of fact, I do.
I might be headed for some. I might be headed for some spectacles myself soon.
Well, your mother told you about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh yes, indeed.
Guess it's time to stop at last, huh? Before it's too late. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
what time is it?
Time to stop. clearly.
As soon as they have an app for laser beam your own eyes, yeah, then the glasses go in the dustbin or in their recycling bin.
That's funny that you said that because you made me think of how the medical industry has almost become self-service anymore. You know what I mean? You have to do your own running around to make sure insurance is paying the right stuff and this and that. And you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just
pretty
it's
much.
Crazy. What do you people do?
Take your money and spend it. That's what.
I know. And lots
wrong.
Of it. And lots
and
of
lots
it.
Lots of it. Yeah. So I'm of the opinion, hey, you. Okay, fine. Let Skynet take care of me because the doctor's not doing anything. Yeah, come on, Terminator. Just come over here.
I had one thing, and he's like, well, take a picture of it and upload it. So, what? Am I going to operate on myself, too, if it's something that needs to be cut off? Jesus. Got a little skin thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just go on. You can go on YouTube and learn how to do that.
I'd do it if I could still drink whiskey. Or actually, rum. That calls for 151. If you have to do a self-operation, I need the 151. You don't feel nothing.
What do they? 151. I take it that's the proof. 151
yes.
Proof.
Ron Rico, 151. It's like it's almost like what's that? What was that stuff called? The clear stuff, Dave. It's not white lightning, but it's similar. It's pure grain alcohol. Oh my gosh.
Thunderbird?
Oh, okay.
No, pure grain alcohol is like, I don't know, 98 proof or something like that.
Pretty close to that, yeah.
What do they call those parties? A buffalo something? And you fill a garbage bag. You put a garbage bag in the old-fashioned steel garbage can. And everybody brings a bottle of something. And in it goes. And some guy would always bring.
That's not the only thing that's going to be going.
Yeah.
That's not the only thing that's going to be going. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it tastes horrible. It's called something buffalo. I can't remember. Wild buffalo or I don't know.
Wild buffalo.
These crazy people.
Yeah,
they always name it after some poor animal. At least you could do justice to it by calling it something, you know, useful. Like when, it's ice cream, so it's moose tracks or elephant tracks. Those are all ice creams. It's just larger chunks that go up the food chain. Dino tracks. And
pick something that sleeps a long time, because that's what you're going to do after you drink out of that.
Okay. The bear.
Yeah, here you go. The sleeping bear.
Sleeping bear, huh?
Sleeping bear.
I wouldn't wake him up.
More like a comatose bear, actually, if you drink that stuff. Yeah.
Let's wrap up The Eye of Death from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Maybe when we get back, we'll have another set of Dave Facts and Eye Facts. And maybe talk about some movies that had eyes prominently in them. Here's the conclusion of The Eye of Death.
This is WBBM Chicago, News Radio 78. 34 degrees at Midway Airport, the time 11:07.
What's eerie?
You will recall my saying earlier that the cleverer the murderer, the more likely he is to make one fatal slip. Something so minor, he never thought of it, never noticed it. What slip will Greg Manchester make? So far, he's got away with his killings. Sandy Oaks doesn't know where Greg Manchester will make that fatal slip, or when, or more particularly, how. But make it, she knows he will. And as I've told you, make it he did. The question is, what insignificant but very final mistake did he make?
You dare show your face here?
I came here to this funeral home to see Rose for the last time. I am her stepfather, Sandy, and have the right...
Murderer.
Sandy.
Get him out of here, Joe.
It's no need, Joe. I'm going. May I have a word with you outside?
Of course. Sandy, pull yourself together. Well?
Joe, you're a lawyer. Would you give me some advice? What am I to do with her? She hates me. Has hated me from the moment we met. I don't know why. Chemistry, I suppose.
Not much I can say to that, Greg, except you're a liar.
I beg your pardon?
You're a liar. It isn't chemistry between you and Sandy. It's Sandy's awareness, her awareness from the first, her trained awareness, because she's photographed so many people, that you're a phony. I agreed with her about that after only short acquaintance with you, Greg, but I didn't agree with her that you're a murderer. I agree now.
You can't mean... You think I murdered Geraldine?
I think you murdered Geraldine and Rose. I think you murdered another woman. In fact, probably other women.
You can stand there and to my face say...
Say it because it's obvious. There's such a thing as coincidence, Greg. But your history, your married history, goes beyond coincidence.
Then you are calling me a murderer.
I thought I'd made that plain. You're skating on thin ice now, and you're going to go through it. And when you do, you're going to find the water bitter cold, Greg. Bitter cold.
Won't you sit down, Miss Oaks?
Thank you, Mrs. Manchester.
Let me say, I only agreed to see you when you phoned and said you wanted to talk with me alone. I only agreed because you are his stepdaughter.
Mrs. Manchester, I wanted to see you because someone should warn you. Greg Manchester is a murderer.
What are you saying?
He murdered my mother. He murdered my sister, Rose. He murdered the woman he was married to before he met my mother. He's going to murder you.
My dear, do you realize the gravity of this accusation?
The important thing is that you realize
realize is that you are a bitter and malicious young woman who, for some reason, I am totally unable to understand, wants to malign a man who has never done anything but good for you.
Good? What do you mean?
Your mother left him all her money, didn't she?
Yes.
He was also the beneficiary of her life insurance, wasn't he?
Yes.
And all of this, the fortune he might have had, he turned over to you and your sister. Is that not so?
It certainly is not so.
Greg told
me. Then he lied. He tricked my mother into giving him control of her money, power of attorney, and all of that, and then taking out a $100,000 life insurance policy, and then he killed her.
Can you prove that?
No. I can't, not yet. But whether I can or not, I think what you should keep in mind is that at least two previous wives have died suddenly and mysteriously after giving him control of their money. Have you?
Why, yes, I have. Oh, but I can't believe this. I won't believe it. My husband is one of the most dear and delightful men I've ever met.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you for your trust in me.
Greg, we didn't hear you come in.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. Otherwise, I'd not have overheard my stepdaughter's accusations. Sandy, I must ask you to leave. And please, don't come back.
Goodbye, Mrs. Manchester. And good luck.
Well, I hope that's the last we see of her. I'm sure you didn't believe the lie she must have told about me.
Why, no, of course not, Greg.
You don't sound altogether sure, Florence.
Why, yes, I am. Only, Greg, you told me you had handed all your former wife's fortune over to her daughter.
No. Well, you misunderstood me.
I
said that I intended to do it. But I haven't had time to get around to it yet. It's quite involved, you know. Certain legalities which take time. You don't believe me, do you?
No. I do. Only I'm certain you said you had already given them the money.
No, you're mistaken, my dear.
Greg.
Yes?
That power of attorney I signed the other day.
Yes?
Don't be offended, dear, but just as a matter of interest, does it give you control over my money?
Now, that's an odd question, Franz.
Does it, Greg?
Well, the power of attorney is just that. It empowers me to act in your behalf.
In other words, you can sign checks, withdraw money from my account, that sort of thing?
Yes, that sort of thing.
I see.
No. I don't think you do. For instance, you don't see that you have just signed your death warrant.
Death warrant?
I want you to go into your bedroom. Start packing.
Packing?
You're going to visit your sister in New Orleans. Midnight. Make the call, Florence. Make it or I'll shoot you right now.
Hello?
Miss Oakes, this is Mrs. Manchester.
Yes?
I've got to see you right away. Could you come here to my apartment?
And I were just about...
It's urgent, Miss Oakes. Dreadfully urgent. Please, please come.
Of course, all right. We'll be there as soon as we can make
it. Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
She's coming right over?
Yes. Greg, please don't kill me.
I'm sorry, Florence.
I'll give you my money.
I've already got it.
Then why kill me?
Pleasure, my dear. Simple pleasure. I find a certain thrill in murdering someone, especially silly women like you. When Sandy pushes that door buzzer, listen to it carefully, Florence. It'll be the last sound you hear in this life.
Greg!
I must snap off the lights here in the bedroom. Oh, good. I'm coming. Oh, help me. Help me.
We heard a shot. What's
the... in the bedroom. I just shot a prowler.
Pitch dark in here. The light switch.
Oh, yeah. Here. Oh, good Lord.
Florence Manchester.
What? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Sandy, for the love of... This is no time for snapping pictures.
I wasn't even aware I was...
Get to the phone. Call the police. And put that damn camera away.
Yes, okay.
Oh, I thought Florence was a prowler. I lost my head. I fired into the dark room.
Headquarters? Give me Lieutenant McCoy. Is he there? Yeah, hurry.
Sandy, please.
Look at it, Joe. Look at it and tell me, what do you see?
I see the body of Florence Manchester lying on her bedroom floor. I have seen the body of Florence Manchester lying on her bedroom floor for over a month now, in blow-up after blow-up after blow-up of the pictures you snapped that night. This blow-up, good Lord, Sandy, it's the biggest yet. Why?
Because these pictures prove Greg murdered Florence, that's why.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me what proof.
Because... I don't know. Because it's staring at me in the face and I can't see it. Joe, look at it. Please, just look at it. Look.
No.
Joe, just look.
I've had it, Sandy. All right. Maybe, like you say, Greg's story of what happened was so much eyewash. Maybe Florence didn't leave to visit her sister in New Orleans. Maybe she didn't come back unexpectedly while he was asleep in his bedroom. Maybe he didn't hear a noise in her bedroom, think it was a prowler, panic and shoot into the darkened bedroom. Eyewash. All eyewash. But don't...
What
is it?
Eyewash. Eyewash. Give me that blow-up.
Ooh, with pleasure.
That's it, Joe. That's it.
What's what?
The proof that he murdered her, the proof I've been looking for, but couldn't see. Joe, Florence Manchester's eyes. Look at her eyes.
Manchester, you've been booked on a charge of murder. The murder of your wife, Florence.
Now, look here,
Lieutenant. Take it easy. Thanks to your stepdaughter, Sandy Oaks, here, we have positive proof that you deliberately and with malice aforethought shot Florence Manchester to death.
What proof? I told you she packed her bag. You saw it in the bedroom and left to visit her sister in New Orleans.
But had come back unexpectedly, according to your story.
And I fired a shot into her pitch-black bedroom, thinking she was a prowler. That's what happened. That's the truth.
No, it's a lie. This photograph of your wife's body... Sandy took it within a minute or two after the shot was fired.
So?
Look at it, Manchester. Look especially at the eyes. The eyes that are open and staring at the ceiling. What do you see?
Her eyes. What else am I supposed to see?
The size of her pupils. Look at the pupils of her eyes. Tell me what you see.
I see the pupils of her eyes.
Contracted. Contracted to the size of a pinhead. The human eye is like a camera, like that Instamax Sandy always carries. The darker an object or a place, the wider the pupil of the eye expands. The brighter an object or a place, such as your wife's bedroom, the narrower the pupil becomes, contracts. What's more, Manchester, when a person is killed instantly, as your wife was... The pupil remains unchanged for 2 to 3 minutes.
You're saying it...
The photo says it, not me. You stated that you fired that shot into a dark bedroom, killing your wife by accident. Her eyes, contracted to pinhead size, prove that she died in a lighted room, a brightly lighted room. If you have anything to say, make it in the form of a confession, won't you? On second thought, I'm not sure we need bother. It's all on film, Manchester.
A picture, they say, is worth a thousand words. And so it would seem that Lieutenant McCoy is right. No words of Manchester's in his defense could possibly disprove the truth of his wife's dead, accusing eyes. I'll be back shortly.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
60301.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed. Gregory Manchester is no longer a name, but a number at State's Prison. Sandy's name has changed, too, from Miss Sandy Oaks to Mrs. Joseph Norman. Hasn't changed her habit of carrying that camera wherever she goes, however, but she seems to use it more and more these days, snapping pictures of a baby named Joe Jr. Our cast included Joan Hackett, Ralph Bell, Robert Dryden, and Joan Shea. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Nils, where is that coffee?
Here's my wife with it now, madame. Magna, let me help you with the tray.
I don't intend to skip anything. If you're implying that I've been up to anything...
Look! Now stop it, the two of you.
Well, you just tell your girlfriend...
You watch your tongue. Flossie isn't my girlfriend. She's my fiancée. What's more? What the devil?
Sorry, sir. I'm very sorry. My wife, the tray slipped from her... Magda!
Look out, she's collapsing.
Magda!
Oh, my dearest.
Let me give you a hand with her, Nils.
No, sir, stand back.
But Nils...
No, you... get back, sir. Get back. Don't come near her. Can't you see?
See what? Her face... She's sweating blood.
Yes, I'm afraid she has the red plague.
It's worse than that. She's brought it here.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
WBBM Chicago, News Radio 78. Correct time, 11:24.
That's the end of our mystery show. I hope nobody swoons. So long, folks, it's time to go. Thanks for staying tuned. We'll be back by and by with more of Radio Set. A tale to terrify. I'll give you party at the rest. We guarantee our story will send chills right up your spine. Just make sure that you're the one who chills the Vigna wine. But for now, turn on the light and open up the lock. Hope we didn't leave you in a fright or in a state of shock. We'll be back with more suspense to make your head. Compliment of important in your role.
right. And that was CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
It
good
was.
Story.
Yes.
Interesting. Just took you to the very end for you figure out how they were going to prove he was a moiterer.
A moiterer.
Interesting. A moiterer. A moiterer, you say. Yeah.
He moiterer.
I am a camera. The camera, I got him.
Yep. And with that, that leads us to our last set of iFacts, JFacts.
Wait a minute. You know there's got to be something for this. iFacts, JFacts.
iFact. If the human eye was a digital camera, it would have 576 megapixels. JFact. I was kind of hoping for 4K or at least HD lens. Eye fact, your eyelashes keep dirt out of your eyes. Day fact, but yet I keep seeing dirty things. Eye fact.
Stop buying those.
94% of visible premature aging around the eyes is caused by UV damage. Day fact, that's not what my mother told me. And eye fact, last one. About half the human brain is dedicated to vision and seeing. Dave fact, I think I used more than that the last time I went to Lisa's Cabaret. Woo!
Do you mind turning off the radio?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Not
yet. We're not gonna do that yet.
Ooh.
Not yet.
Oh,
not
quite. Ooh la la.
Okay.
So we had a whole lot of radio, and yet there's time remaining.
There is time remaining.
We could tell you a little bit about next weekend first, I guess.
I'm still
haven't figured out what we're going to do for Friday. I don't know. What should one do for their 666th show?
666.
Oh, I don't know. Pull out the Ouija board, perhaps. Get a Ouija board and say.
Can't figure that one out.
I don't know.
Let's see. Oh, I don't know. Should we ask Satan? Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have his name.
Yeah, why not?
He was here before. He's a former guest.
He is. He wrecked the show, but yeah, he was a guest.
Yeah, he wrecked our souls.
Oh, you still have yours? I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah. Running it out.
Available
for sublet.
Our favorite recipes for devil's food cake.
Now you are torturing me. Now I am being tortured.
Oh, and what's happening Saturday, Dale?
We got author Julian coming in. He wrote a book. This is great stuff. It's based on things that were happening in Hollywood in 1930 and 31, as Carl Laemmle Jr. takes over Universal Studios and is largely responsible for the phenomenon we know of as the Universal Classic Monsters. And it's cool. What I've read of it so far is really, really cool. So hopefully you'll join us for our guest.
Right?
Yeah. It is a novel. Yeah. It is not like a certified 100% factual, but it's an imagining of what likely took place based on things we do know.
Sounds devilish.
Yeah. Devilishly good.
Yes, folks, don't let it be fooled, because you back in their old days, they were naughty, perhaps as naughty, if not more so, than we are today.
They just didn't. They were able to hide it a little better.
Yeah, they didn't have to go around and show everybody on a cell phone, for God's sake.
Yep, didn't have social media. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Dumb people putting stuff like that up there.
And there were some people that went around muckraking, looking for the things or making them up. But
yeah,
on the whole, a lot of times they got breaks from reporters and such of the day.
Oh, yes. Well, that, for example, they throw one actor under the bus and save another actor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and all the things, you know, a lot of the athletes that were big drinkers and womanizers and things like that, they didn't report things like that, even though they knew they were going on.
Yes.
Wasn't a secret.
Quite so. Quite so. Unless they really, 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 really got out of hand to say Errol Flynn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you say Errol Flynn? Oh, gee.
Oh, my gosh. And speaking of Robert Mitchum was tossed in the Who's Gal for, I believe, possession of a particular herb, if I'm not.
Yes.
Of, I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was busted, I think in the 50s, for possession of marijuana.
Marijuana.
Ah,
yes. That stuff that you can pretty much buy almost a great big bag of it at Costco. Not quite,
Costco.
But you're getting close to it.
Costco. Oh, wow. I missed aisle 4, man. You gotta go back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. We got the 2 pounds of dip, the 5 pound bag of chips.
Yeah,
that. Don't forget that.
Well, I see that ought to be part of the governmental control, man. You can't get anywhere near, like, bakery and stuff if you're going to use that stuff.
Now, that would be something a bakery should sell. You sell it here on this side, and, you know, you have your baked goods here, your bag of Funyuns and everything else. You'd clean up.
Yeah. Funyuns. I love Funyuns.
Funyuns are good.
I love Funyuns, yeah.
They're good.
Yeah. If I ever did open one of those stores, I'd also have one next door. And while you're here, you might want to go and pick up a few little snackies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, why go to the other store? Just go right here next door. We'll take care of you.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Very clever. That's a good marketing plan. I like it.
Yeah.
Good marketing, yeah.
I approve your business model.
Oh, thank you very much. Patented. Yeah, fleece them and smoke them when you got them, and people will.
Yeah, they will. A little bit of time here. Maybe we got some muzak. Anybody got a coin?
Coinage? I got paid, so I do happen to have a wooden buffalo head nickel.
A nickel.
Okay, better than my hemp coin, so go for it, Dave.
Well, let me reach over and put it in.
Is that anything like Bitcoin?
Les Paul. So Les, come on out here and take a bow.
Unique style that he had, and had it not been for him, who knows when they would have come around to the multi-track recordings that he basically pioneered.
Oh, yes. And he also pioneered turning up the volume on the guitar. Why? Because he said, in his words, didn't sound loud enough. Turn it up. Spinal Tap. Crank it up to 11. Crank it up.
That's right.
Crank it up.
There you go. Good stuff. I like his work. Les Paul and was it Les Paul? No, I'm thinking of Les Brown.
Les Paul and Mary Ford. What? Oh, okay.
No, I almost got him confused with Les Paul.
Who's
Les,
that?
Les Brown, I mean. Excuse me.
Oh, Les Brown. Yeah, he was. You know what's interesting is not long before he passed, I think he mentioned to Chet Atkins, you know, we're not going to be around much longer. We ought to do it. And they got together and did a whole big set. Chet Atkins and Les Brown. The quite interesting recordings that they made.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. Oh, I think you're thinking of Les Brown and his Band of Renown.
Yeah, Band of Renown. Yep.
Yeah. I like their version of Leapfrog that Jerry Lewis was jamming to in Nutty Professor.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Turkey in the straw. You know why the turkey was in the straw? Because that straw was more than just regular straw. It was that wild wood weed.
You got something on your mind today.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Something going on
there. Stressful day at work, perhaps? Need to unwind with CW here on Erie House Radio, where we're cool and laid back.
Yeah, just put your shades on, man. Whoa. Just remember, due to the elections, there are a few more states where you can be mellow. Whoa.
Your house neither approves nor rejects previous comments. So there. Wink, wink.
No,
you put a wink, wink in there. You got to put a nod, nod in there. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Nod and a wink. We'll see you in a wink or a week. Friday night, 6:30 again. Show number 666. And then we got Julian coming in to share stuff about his novel. And it'll be a mini celebration of Frankenstein, the original film. So join us, won't you?
Yep. And don't forget our brother Gar the Ghoul on Twitch TV right after
coming
this,
up in 48 seconds.
Blah, blah.
Yep.
So get on over to them their Twitches as we have Mrs. CW. Actually, it's going to be Mr. Vincent Price if I can find him. Goodbye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
I can.
Cool, man. Cool.
Give me a shovel, man.
Yeah, man. Cool.
All right, that wasn't timed too poorly.
Actually, yeah, it looked good on my look good on mine. But okay.
Yeah, we missed, like, the door slam, I think. Not too bad.
Oh, okay.
Not at all, not at all.
Unless you're living in the archive, then it was... Unless you're on the archive, then it was perfect.
Yes, if you're listening in the archive, it was perfect.
It was
totally perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Timed just right.
Yep. We hear at Erie House deliver quality.
We do? I mean, we do.
No, the only reason I was referring to the marijuana thing is just an easy way to get a laugh.
Oh, okay, sure.
We believe that, CW.
Yeah, that's my story. So there we are.
Well, for the benefit of any FBI agents listening, it's all in comedy fun.
Actually,
right.
I think that's a DEA, but why quibble?
Whatever.
We don't need any of those friendly neighborhood narco agents knocking on our door, man.
No, man.
No. Yeah, just hurry up and burn it. And that way they'll say, we were here for something, but we just can't seem to remember. You got any Funyuns? We can
check on. Funyuns again.
I like Funyuns. Yeah, I like Funyuns.
Funyuns is good stuff.
Yuck. I don't like Funyuns, which can tell you that I don't imbibe that stuff. I have tried them, and they're yucky poo.
Oh.
Okay. I like them.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're good. Good for you.
What I like, I don't know if you have them in your market, are Pocky chips. Have you seen those Pocky chips?
Pocky chips? No, yeah. Can't say I'm familiar with Pocky chips.
Sounds like something you got to clean up with a pooper scooper.
No.
Oh, stop.
Pocky chips. P-A-Q-U-I.
Oh, I might have heard about them, but I have not yet seen them. For real.
They look like Doritos, but they're so much better. And they also have the ghost pepper flavor. And I did try them, and my eyes were watering.
I can imagine. Ghost peppers are supposed to be pretty painful.
And a couple of years ago, before we were introduced to that COVID thingamabob, they had a chip, a one chip that they sold in a box. It was just one chip. They sold out immediately. This chip was made with the spice of the Carolina Reaper. It makes a ghost pepper look like a glass of water.
Jeez. This is a point where if you're punishing yourself, why? Why?
Oh, so these Pocky chips, they're like Dorito type chips, tortilla chips, tortilla chips.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Tortilla.
Some tortilla, yeah.
Yeah, tortilla. Kind of like macabre.
Yeah, tortilla chips.
Tortilla chips.
So, yeah, that's my go-to snacky. I think Head and Shoulders over a Funyun any day of the week. Head and Shoulders.
Whoa.
Shoulders
ahead. Never count out the Funyun. Never count out the Funyun.
And so you like the Pocky chips? I don't know what I like. I'm trying to avoid snacking. I like Goldfish. The cracker that is.
Oh, that's just going to say.
You know what I recently rediscovered? I loved them as a kid, and I still love them now because I just found them, and I bought a box or two or 12 of Chicken in a Biscuit. Remember Chicken in a Biscuit? It's kind of a chickeny flavored little cracker.
Oh,
yeah, in the store.
They still make them.
Yeah, I see those in the store all the time.
There's a few things that are still around that were you'd be surprised, like the what those gums. They had the blackjack, and what else did they have? I don't know. Kind of sap of some trees later.
Clove gum.
Yeah, they do. They have clove flavored gum. Crazy. And they used to have that
yum.
When they were kids. Beachmen's, I think they were called. It's the company that made them. They made the stuff that you black your teeth out with. The fake blackout.
Okay.
Yeah. Are Beachmen's or Beeman's? Beeman's, maybe.
Beeman's. Beach. Something akin to that. Yeah, this year during Halloween, I saw. Usually, you see always Frankenberry and Count Chocula. Blueberry was out, but they also had Fruit Brute.
Oh God, Fruit
Brute
was a flop originally. Fruit Brute,
Fruit Brute
did not pan out for very long. And there was a Yummy Mummy, which that very thought makes me ill, but for a variety of reasons.
I couldn't think of a better thing, like, I don't know, like something for a ghoul or...
Yeah.
Or
ghost flakes, you know? They could be all
ghost
coated
flakes.
With sugar and all completely white. Ghost flakes.
Something to that effect.
Something to make you have a diabetic shock, you know?
Yeah. Or not.
Always good fun. Because I like having sugar crashes. Ooh, boy. It's like, it's the 60s all over again, man. I can see the colors. No, I don't like it. A sugar crash is a horrible, horrible feeling. Horrible. It's awful. Anybody who's had
What do you do? Break open an emergency Oreo or something?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, don't say Oreos. I made a mistake at Halloween. I got the Halloween Oreos, you know, with the orange in the middle. And I totally destroyed my glucose for almost a full week. I might as well have went out trick-or-treating and said the hell with it. No, I felt bad. I was not used to eating crap. I've been eating well lately. It's funny, when like if you avoid McDonald's for like a year or two and then you taste it, you feel like you're going to die afterwards or like just, you're totally sluggish. Like, oh, McDonald's, what did you do to me?
No, I haven't been to McDonald's. Well, I did get a cup of tea because they were just there and I wanted a cup of tea, but that's as close as I've gotten to getting anything from McDonald's. I don't think I can do too much to hot water and a tea.
Well, you don't go for the meat anyway.
No.
Or do they also have meatless burgers?
No, they don't have that. Not yet. They don't have
Burger King does. Burger King does.
Yes, they have the Impossible Burger, which I'm quite shocked McDonald's has not gotten on that
bandwagon.
I think they're probably experimenting right now in their McLabs to get a McMeatless McBurger. Yes, and here we are in the McDonald's McLab with Dr. McWhat's-His-Name with their assistants, Dr. McWhoever. Yes, we're making a meatless McMook. Something.
McAir. We're in a bag for you. Yay.
Well, you know, in Canada, they have McPizza. Up in Canada, they have McPizza.
McPizza?
Yeah.
Yes,
really?
They do have,
You know, in France, they call it Royale with cheese.
And as I mentioned, I think previously in Hawaii, I think they have McSpam.
McSpam. Yeah, in France, they call a quarter pounder with cheese. You know what they call it?
Cheese Royale.
Yeah, Royale with cheese. Yeah. Most people don't know that. You know what that's from, don't you? I think CW picked up on that.
Oh, no. Yes. Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
What a great movie.
Quentin Tarantino. Yeah.
A lot of fun. Do you remember Mike McGraner?
Yes.
Dave? Of course you do.
Yes.
I read a post by him. He recently got to meet Quentin Tarantino.
Did he really?
Cool.
Yeah, he stated he is extremely down to earth.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's not one I would have thought.
Yeah, he said contrary to what he had a fine meeting with him and everything, and it was. He said, yeah, he's extremely down to earth, and he had the opportunity. Much as we had the opportunity to talk with Fritz, Dave, you and I, he had a chance to sit down with Quentin Tarantino.
Outstanding.
With some other folks, it looked like. Yeah,
yeah,
that was neat.
So just on that wild card of a chance, that roll of the dice, the hands of fate, the fickle finger of fate, or what have you, if perchance you happen to come upon Mr. Tarantino, you say, hey, Quentin, how's it going? And hopefully he won't throw anything at you, or his bodyguards won't come and tackle you.
Quentin, what's up? Yo! I would have liked to work with Bruce Campbell. He had to have been fun. I think he was friends with the ghoul, with Ron Swede.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. Because he was in Detroit, so, you know,
okay.
Bruce Campbell, when they first started, I think when they first made the first Evil Dead, those were all folks out of Detroit area, or at least Michigan.
Yeah, the Raimis, Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
They were all out of that area, weren't they?
I think so. And so Bruce and them, they grew up watching The Ghoul, I guess, over in Detroit on Channel 20 over there.
Wow.
Yep. No, it's
cool.
Ties of horror from different things.
Absolutely.
There are many threads. We were talking about, too, just how the Universal films really put faces that are... Oh, you can ask a very young person, you know, well, who is this? And, oh, that's the Frankenstein. That's Boris Karloff. It's that, you know what I mean? If it's a cartoon drawing or whatever, they recognize that. A most recognized vampire is dressed and looks very much like Bela Lugosi still to this day. Those two, you know, Bela and Boris are just ingrained on the American psyche.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whether they know it or not, you know what I mean?
Or even Sesame Street's The Count takes after Bela's design.
Absolutely. He's a adaptation of Lugosi, and those kids that grew up watching Sesame Street, you know, maybe early on they would later learn who Lugosi is, but kids today have no idea. Like these old great Lon Chaney Sr., Lon Chaney, and the Wolfman too.
Well,
these kids know those monsters are out there, but they may not be familiar with the films that they came from.
Unless you're in the goth, then you do.
Yeah.
Because
then you're required. I think you're required. They won't let you in if you don't know your horror.
Right, true. I mean, you have to be able to. What's that song? Sung by Bauhaus. Bela Lugosi is dead.
Whole
goth classic.
We were talking about Mixcloud. We've been talking about Mixcloud. We're allowed to use that kind of stuff on Mixcloud.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do it live, but maybe we could tape a show or 2 or 10 or 12 and put them up there. I have a Mixcloud account. So that might be fun to do, like, in between shows or as a special bonus from time to time. So we're kicking it around.
Oh, yeah.
We're kicking it around.
Kick the tires, see how it drives. Run it up the flagpole. See who salutes it. Throw it down the well and see if
Timmy's
down there.
Splashes on me. Yeah, he splashes on me.
Throw it down the well and see if Lassie jumps in after it.
So I was doing a little reading because I haven't watched all the Lassies, although I've seen now most of the Timmy years lately. I'm starting to work on the Jeff years and the Ranger Corps years, just from time to time if I have a minute in front of the TV. I read that the second episode, which was pre-Timmy, that was Jeff. In fact, it was the second pilot. It was called The Well. No one fell in. You know who is the only actor from Lassie who fell in a well?
Who?
Lassie.
Lassie.
Yeah, later in the color years.
Lassie fell in the well.
Later in the color years, there's an episode where she fell in a well.
Uh-oh. Who's going to save Lassie then?
I don't know. I don't know, but
Timmy has to go up to the dog and say,
the original dog pal that I, the original dog pal that I named my dog after, he acted up until that second pilot, and then his son, called, I think it was either Son of Lassie or Lassie Jr., played during the TV run, the early TV run in the black and white years. And Lassie, though, they put a bed in the studio for Lassie would come to work. But he wouldn't work, you know, because he was kind of retired. They figured, oh, he's getting up there. Mm-hmm. And for the last few, they said it was hilarious, though. He would be going through the routines and backstage while, you know, his son was playing the character. And they would refer to him as the old man. And then he lived to be 18. That's pretty old for any dog, you know, 18.
Yes.
The last year he was starting to get blind and his hips were gone and stuff like that. So from what I understand, though, Rudd Weatherwax was destroyed when Pal died. He was absolutely destroyed. He never watched a Lassie movie or TV show again. He couldn't. He loved that dog dearly. He was very grateful for what that dog did for him.
Yeah,
because and his family became primary animal trainers for the acting industry. The Weatherwax family is. I don't know, but I know the Weatherwax family still has their hands in animal training and the Lassie name, because that was one of the things when he finally got done with his contract making movies, they gave Rudd Weatherwax the right to the name Lassie. And so he would take Lassie out on tours. I think that's where we got, didn't we have that Lassie episode here on Erie House, Dave?
Yes, we did.
I think that was just one of many, many things. He would go to supermarkets with, and the dog was just amazing. And his way with dogs, they're, a video much later after Lassie died, you can find it on YouTube. It shows him training collies and stuff like that. You know, the offspring or kinfolk. His descendants. That's what I mean to say. His descendants are, you know, were within the Weatherwax family for many, 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 many years. They weren't going to use Pal. They said, and I noticed this too, because I thought there's something wrong with my dog. I thought his eyes are too small. No, Lassie had extraordinarily large eyes, which is why he was not a show dog, Pal. Pal was owned by this dude that Weatherwax knew, and he had two problems. He wouldn't shut up. He barked a lot, and he chased motorcycles. Chasing motorcycles was the one thing Rudd Weatherwax could not train him out of. He just liked to chase motorcycles. Dogs are great. They are characters. Them and cats, they have complex little personalities once you get to know them.
I think even more so cats, but...
Cats are very complex.
Oh, I wonder if he, when I look something up, I wonder if he trained those Dobermans in that movie, The Doberman Gang.
Oh, you know what? That would be something interesting to see. Come on, Google.
Hmm. Google can always be subtle.
IMDb might tell us something.
It might.
Oh, now you got to sign up with them to get extra info. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go to IMDb Pro. Did you know debut as a component of Alan Silvestri? Originally rated PG? The Doberman game? Really?
PG? It wouldn't be today.
No. It'd be like triple G by today's standards. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, animal action director was Carl Lewis Miller. Animal supervisor was Lou Schumacher.
It's so funny how Dobermans get a bad rap. I have seen Dobermans be like the most tenderest, sweetest dogs.
You have to remember that Dobermans were bred for battle. And just like any dog, I mean, I was once taking care of a friend's dog and taking for a walk, and we walked past this house and came charging out of the backyard was this little powder puff of a little lap dog. And it had the mentality of a werewolf, and it slammed right into the chain link fence, and its little... It was totally white, and its little black nose and its little white teeth were trying to bite through there. Yeah, I was walking a dog. Dog was a mutt, probably about, I'd say, three times the size. And the dog I was walking was just sort of staring at it. And the owner came out, really nice fella, and just, you know, scooped up the dog. And the dog was still growling and said, "Hello, how are you doing?" And the dog was just still slathering.
So some of the smaller dogs are absolutely fearless. They're absolutely fearless.
And
if you have a protective one, they can be just as fearsome as a big dog.
Oh yeah.
Or think they are, at least.
Burglar comes in and says, "Get savaged by a Pomeranian."
A Pomeranian. They're cute little dogs, though.
Yeah, they are. You haven't lived until you've been in a hotel room and next door there's a dog, person who has a dog, and find out it's a papillon. They have those big flappy ears, and that dog would not be quiet. We were trying to figure out, well, what's the rap for kidnapping a dog?
Yeah. How much time will I get if I just take him away for a while?
Well, you know, can we sneak him up on the roof?
There's always duct tape. No. Folks, do not do that to your dog.
No,
right,
no.
We're just,
no, Erie House does not condone that.
We do not condone dog taping at all.
But any dog.
Duct taping,
maybe,
but not dog taping.
Not dog taping. No.
Duct taping.
So, you know, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Dobermans can be really sweet lap dogs. Just, you know, any kind of dog could be really sweet. Just depends on the people who own them and train them, and you have to make them understand who's boss, and they have to be made to understand. There's people who don't know how to handle these dogs. They have their mind's eye getting, what a great big mastiff. Well, a mastiff is totally a battle dog, and you have to be very firm with them. Not mean, just firm and consistent.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of dog.
You have to be. Collies are very sensitive, so. Well, that might spoil him, but they are. They're sensitive. They're stubborn, but like they're really, really sensitive. You could hurt their feelings, but they're sensitive to people's feelings too. Sometimes he nibbles too much, and he got Denise really, really good, and she made a fuss over it with him about it. You know what I mean? You know, you did a bad thing. You really hurt me, and. You know, she was really making him feel bad. You know, he hasn't done it again. He nibbles. It's part of the herding thing. Sometimes that's the way they, you know, herd sheep. He's always trying to bump his fat butt to herd us in a particular direction because he wants us to play or give him a treat, you know. He uses his herding instincts, and it's hilarious. But sometimes when he nips, it's not so funny.
Yeah.
And I take it there's still no war with the cats. Haven't smacked them in the back. Smacked them yet, have they?
Nah, Joe's still a coward. He's right here with me.
Aww.
Gutless. He's getting a little more bold though. He snuck up to visit mommy. He did go up and see mommy. Went up to the bedroom because he knew the dog was outside. He's like, oh, let me get the ash for it and visit my humans. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Because I can bear witness to the fact that nothing will teach a dog how to leave a cat alone once they get the taste of those back claws.
Yeah. Well, his sister would always be mean to him, and he liked toying with her and chasing her, and he came up with a few scars from her back feet. But she was a mean cat.
Yeah.
She was a mean cat, but she liked me. I don't know why. She loved me.
Yeah, we had a, as a child, I had a, we found a stray, and it was about as close to being a feral cat as you could get. And it was so furious that my parents, they finally got rid of it because it was just so, just went wild.
This cat is an a-hole.
Yeah, pretty much.
Some are. Some. My cat was an a-hole. She was. If it doesn't like my wife, there is something wrong with it. Okay, because every animal likes my wife. So if it doesn't like Denise, then that has a mental issue. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Then we got another cat, and it was older, and it was a real, real piece of work. That's being nice, but I took responsibility for it. I took care of the cat litter, the cat, and dealt with it and everything, and disciplined it and everything, because I didn't want my parents to pick it up and have it go bye bye. But yeah, this cat was a piece of work. It was a piece of work, and I got a few cat scratch claws on me from time to time. And then it would just curl up on the bed as though, is there something wrong? Is there a problem?
It turned out the way I wanted. Cats, they are so funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny how their personalities are so, so different. Like, Bandit was, like, the most chill, cool cat of all time. Miss Gray was just an uptight idiot. I think she had food insecurities. Maybe that's why she was so overweight. Because Joe always had to be a gentleman and let her eat first and go away before he was allowed to go to the food. He's a coward. But he's good-natured.
You know, he can hear you, you know. He can hear you.
Yeah.
He's right here.
He's right here.
Yeah, don't fall asleep. He'll take care of you, man.
Yeah. Nah, he's my buddy.
In the creep. Oh, yeah, sure, you say that now. But in the middle of the night, you never can tell what will happen.
Wow. Well, when we had three of them, I would hear them whispering and plotting amongst themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we do now?
It's like the whispering from Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah.
That was creepy when I was a kid. That movie scared the crap out of me. I think they remade it.
Oof. Oh, yeah, they did. It was Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. They made it with Kim Darby was in the first one, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. I liked her.
And they Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner was in the remake.
Ah. So did they have little coconut head monsters, too?
The monsters were a little different. They weren't the coconut heads, but they were different.
Okay.
I don't know if I can't remember if they CG'd them or what.
Well, hopefully they were nice and scary and creepy, because that movie scared me when I was a kid. Like that one, that's one of the few that kind of got me. It's like, ooh.
I would love to have a horror movie where you have, okay, they get, I mean, the reason I loved Aliens is because, okay, fine, you've got an alien on there. Everyone's screaming, running. And, you know, Ripley's not having any of it, so she gets her blowtorch, scared to death, but, you know, saying this. And then
yeah.
Aliens 2. Aliens 2. I have to say, Aliens 2 is one of those rare movies that is better than the original, the sequel.
Yeah.
I know it's a whole industry, but the sequel was better than the original. Doesn't happen often, but the sequel was actually superior than the original.
Yeah, I
think actress,
some would argue The Godfather 2 might have been a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I often argue that Bride of Frankenstein was better than Frankenstein. But yeah, Aliens 2, a lot of people agree with you that it's better.
Oh, heck yeah. And the actress, and I'm ashamed to say I can't remember her name, who was that?
Sigourney Weaver?
No, Sigourney Weaver was with Ripley, but the one who was the Space Marine, Vasquez. You know,
oh, yeah, she was a badass, wasn't she?
Oh, heck yeah. Let's rock! Yeah.
Yeah. She was a good character. I liked her.
Oh, my God. I love that.
She came to a bad end, but she was a badass to the end.
I know. And she blew him up. If I've got to go, you're going with me.
Yep. Yeah,
now,
she was a cool character.
That's what I'd love
to have. Yep.
Instead of a heroine screaming, help, save me, help, save me. I have to – what was the movie with – Lee Van Cleef, though, with that, it's black and white, Lee Van Cleef, Beverly Garland. I have to look it up.
God, he was in so many movies. It's the one where the alien's talking to him on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's like...
And Peter Graves was in that, too.
Yes, he was. oh, gosh.
Hang on. Hello. So she got to actually meet Forrest J. Ackerman and go to the Acker Mansion. Let's see. That was 19.
I would have loved to have gone to the Acker Mansion. I'm going to say it's around 55, 56. I'm going to find. Oh, It Conquered the World.
It conquered the world. Yeah.
That's the one with the big carrot.
Yeah.
I think it turned out to be a big giant carrot thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, It Conquered the World.
And it is a Roger Corman.
Is it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. His character was Dr. I'm looking on Wikipedia, a list of his movies. He was also in Partners with Jerry Lewis.
Mm.
Same year.
Gee. That movie has a really nice production value to it. But anyway, Beverly Garland's character gets a 22 caliber rifle and starts going after it because she's just fed up with it.
Yeah.
You're
not taking my man, damn you.
Yeah. And start shooting at it. Apparently,
because he kind of almost took Lee Van Cleef over, didn't he, or something in that movie?
Pretty much, yeah.
John Egar was in the remake one of those Jack Hill movies from the 50s, or 60s, I mean. They remade. It was one of the ones they remade.
Yeah. But I thought that was so cool. She didn't fall on her heels or fall on an imaginary log. You know, the heroine's running and running and trips and falls, and there's nothing to trip and fall over. What are you falling over? I mean, what? There's nothing. But you're falling over.
I think it has to do with the way that we see things upside down, and our mind turns it around, and then we get clumsy when it doesn't turn it around right. That's what happens. You know.
That could be.
Did
you ever notice Lee Van Cleef is missing part of a finger?
But he was in.
Yeah,
I did not.
He's missing from the knuckle on up on one of his fingers. Like just the very end of it. I forget what happened, but I noticed this for years. I saw it in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and he hit it well in Shane. What the hell happened to him? I can't remember.
Let's find out. I didn't notice it in Escape from New York either. He was in Escape from New York. I didn't.
Oh yeah, he's the one who sent Kurt Russell out to the island to go rescue the president.
Yeah. Call me Snake. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Graduated high school, military service, grumble, grumble.
Yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada, yada.
He lost the last joint of the middle finger of his right hand while building a playhouse for his daughter.
Wow. Where did he go?
There you go.
Of all the things to do, he was in the war. In the war and everything else. Daddy's going to build you a playhouse. Daddy has got to go and get a Band-Aid. Just don't look at that, all that blood. It's Texas Chainsaw House, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre House, but Daddy will be right back. Jeez.
He was married 3 times, blah, blah, blah. In 1958, a severe car crash nearly cost Van Cleef his life and career. A resulting knee injury made his physicians think he would never ride a horse again. Not true, though, obviously. This injury plagued Van Cleef for the rest of his life and caused him great pain. His recovery was long and difficult and halted his acting for a time. He then began a business in interior decoration with second wife Joan, as well as pursuing his talent for painting, primarily of sea and landscapes. But yeah, obviously afterwards he came back with a vengeance. He had those Sabata movies and all the spaghetti westerns with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, heck yeah. So cheers to his physical therapist, whoever helped him get his health back.
Best he could. He,
Having never ridden a horse, I couldn't tell you how difficult that would be. I mean, the fact
I was young and it was easy because I was limber. I think it would be difficult for me now. I'm, you know, stiff and older and whatever. I'd still want to do it, though. I love horses. They're great.
I could ride a horse, but I don't know if I could get up on it. Yeah. Because it's been a while. I was a teenager the last time I rode a horse, but.
Yeah, I was in my 20s yet, I think, the last time I went on a...
Never been, you know, I've seen them.
They're
when you're in the
smart
city
animals.
They have buggy rides, and, you know, I even saw one of the buggy riders training a new horse. They didn't have it hooked up to the buggy yet, but they were street training it to get it accustomed to the traffic and everything. Which was really interesting.
Yeah, they are very, very smart animals. They're easy to fall in love with, like a dog or a cat.
If they're so smart, how can they let us get on top of them? If they're so smart.
I'll tell you what, some of them will give you a hard time about that, too, if they're going to mind not to let you ride. They'll do their best to throw you.
Yeah. Yep, yeah.
A lot of people have been hurt. Well, look what happened to Christopher Reeve with horseback riding.
Yeah.
That was just incredible. I mean, he was a very good equestrian. He was a very good rider, but just the horse took the jump the wrong way, and he went one way, and the horse went the other, and that was all she rode. Whereas
that's why
you have people who...
One of the toughest sports to be in. It ain't soccer. It ain't football. It's rodeo. Those guys are in pain at the end of their lives.
Oh, God, yeah. Ew.
As they get older, that's a lot of pain. That's worse than being a football.
Yeah.
I think that's worse than being an offensive lineman.
Could be.
I don't know. Well, you know, you're finding about all that the helmets just don't have the tech where they can really protect the brain per se. I mean, you're finding out people who are barely in their 40s. I mean, they're retired from football, but they're getting diseases that a 90-year-old person is supposed to get.
They're working on that with the technology with the helmets and stuff, because these guys hit harder than ever.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's a game, and they're trying to kill each other. I mean,
yeah.
It's a gladiatorial. It's more like gladiators going at it than football.
I truly believe that, and I think that's something Rome realizes, to let people get their excitement out in the Colosseum, and I think football does that for society in a way too. Perhaps it's a good way to release aggression.
Mm.
I don't know.
No.
As long as you keep in mind it's a game.
If you really want to release aggression.
But I don't go for dirty play and trying to hurt somebody. Mm. That's not cool. That is not cool.
I prefer the e-sports. 12 hours straight of playing Halo. That'll take the aggression out of everybody.
I don't know, man. You can get some serious carpal tunnel. Wait, you're older. Then again, people who start young, maybe they wouldn't be susceptible to that, because... I used to play certain games that had a lot of repetitive strokes, and after a while, man, my hand's like, oh, stop. The same thing at work. If I do a lot of typing, it's like, oh.
I have seen players get a trigger finger, sort of. But it depends. Some people will get it. Some people won't. But, yeah, I wish I could, if I was any better at it, I'd see if I can get a degree in esports. I mean, now you have esports teams.
Yeah.
In colleges and universities.
It's big on YouTube, people having these competitions and stuff like that for some of these games. It's incredible.
Oh, heck yeah.
There's whole channels of people just putting up their...
That's what three quarters of Twitch is people playing video games. And people watching people play video games.
Yeah, that amazes me. That somebody would sit there on YouTube or Twitch or something like that, and I want to watch a guy play a video game. What the hell? How lazy have we become as a society? I'm too lazy to play a video game. Really? Wow.
No, actually, I can kind of understand it, because...
Okay, gelatinous one.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're going to have. We're going to have 10-year-olds that are going to be like a big blob of jelly. They'll have no endoskeleton or any other kind of skeleton. But I can hit the keys.
Yeah, I got the keys.
Who knows?
Yeah, in my gaming chair. My gaming chair will rotate and, you know, put me here in this room and that room and that room, and I can shower in my chair. And
that's why the Wii is a cool idea, because it kind of makes you be active. My kids have a Wii.
Do you remember when the Wiis first came out and people were playing golf or tennis and the strap on the hand wasn't very secure, and that thing would go flying into people's... Oh, heck no. They were playing tennis and everything, and people were getting excited and everything, and they were holding on the strap, but the strap was not secure enough. There were more than a few people. The control thing went flying right into their monitors.
Oh, no.
The television was... Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of dollars of damage. Oh, wonderful.
Thousands. Especially if you had a high-definition one, we're talking thousands of dollars of damage.
God. That's so funny.
Yeah, gentlemen, with that, I must be away.
Yeah, we better bring the great one out here.
Yeah, maybe I need to play around a Halo or something. I'm feeling upset.
I just think you need a bag of Funyuns. That'll do it.
It might make you feel better.
Well, maybe. But with all due respect to the great one, Mr. Durante, the bag of Funyuns is on the keyboard. It's waiting for you right now.
They're delicious.
Good night.
Nice.
What for this say but good night? Billy Day, we've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Sorry, blow up, we the same.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Mrs. Calabash,
wherever
you are.
Good night to all you horse lovers.
Good evening. Hello, I'm Mr. Reyes.